Oh, yep, it is your boy back again. Of course I'm back again because you're listening to the same podcast you're listening for. This is Koshy Deals with another episode of Hustle Beach. Hustle Beach, where we put the hustle and the muscle in the beach. And I got a guest today, right from down the mean streets of Yafo. Let's give it up for Maynard Breslow, everybody.
Woo!
How's it going, bro?
It's going great, man. Going great. Feeling great. Thanks for having me on. It's also the time this uploads, it'll be my birthday, so that'll be cool too.
It's pretty epic. It's pretty epic. I'm just realizing, I'm like, if I get any weird sounds, I think it's because I'm connected to the internet, so I'm maybe like unconnect for the internet.
Yeah.
But here we are. We are in Yafo, Israel, and you're on Hustle Beach, which is obviously a ripoff of Muscle Beach, but you know, the people worked out really hard there. And I'm really interested. So your story starts out in Los Angeles, California, going to Mexico City, which is kind of unheard of. So you guys were, so you come, your background is Ashkenazi?
Yeah,
Jewish,
Ashkenazi Jew.
Mexican.
Mexican. My mom was born in Mexico. Arivechi, she's more of like the traditional, you know, looking Mexican, whatever. My grandpa was also born in Mexico City, but he's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jew from Kiev. You know, his parents were from Kiev, so got a lot of the different mixed roots. People would come in, and
it's a lot of street cred right there, because you're like, yeah, you're like what, LA, and you're like Mexican Jewish.
Chicano, right? Baby, I'm Chicano LA. You know, from East LA, mamash. You know,
yeah,
mamash so, from East LA, bro.
Mamash from East LA. That's funny, dude. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so cool. So, what was like the first thing you sold in LA? Like when you were growing up,
I'll tell you, selling. I remember going back. My first memory of selling something was in Mexico City, actually. So my dad sold the clothing stores, moved to Mexico City. He owned some McDonald's in Mexico. So my dad was a franchisee for McDonald's.
It sounds like a chapter out of like Breaking Bad, like McDonald's in Mexico.
Yeah, it really was, dude. Like it was a complete culture shock. Right? I had no idea what to expect. Didn't speak Spanish at all. My dad hardly spoke Spanish. I don't know how, you know, he's just like, fuck it, we're going to, can I cuss here?
Yeah.
Cool, all right. We cuss on mine, so it's all good. But yeah, so he's like, fuck it, we're going to go to Mexico City, open up a McDonald's. And, so I lived in Mexico City. Like I said, I'm very grateful for my upbringing. Always had a great upbringing. And I was going to the school there with, like, the president's son and, like, you know, all, you know, there's like one family that owns the gasoline company and like
right,
one family that owns like the cell company.
Style.
Yeah, so like that kind of shit. And like, you know, obviously in Mexico, it's all about soccer, football,
mm-hmm.
You know? So what I used to do is I used to record the football games and make copies of the tapes and slang the tapes.
Really?
Yeah. So like that
so
was like
VHS
the first
them?
Thing. Yeah. And we would also do like recordings, like cassette tapes. We would do like mixtapes and shit. Like, I would like come to school with a list of like albums that my dad had, and
mm-hmm.
like have people like make a mixtape and like
wow.
just come with like all these different songs that they could pick,
mm-hmm.
and then like I'll go. My dad had a like a CD thing, and I would go and record them. This was back in like 92, 93.
Oh
you
yeah.
know? So like the beginning of CDs.
Yes.
You know, so I would like use the dual cassette CD player to like play the CD and record the cassette and slang the cassettes.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
So we would play the CD and then blank tape it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll come in like, you know, take orders in class and then go home, record them, make the cassettes and then come back the next day and sell them, you know, for the custom order, whatever somebody had.
Right. I used to sell fireworks. That was my thing. I used to sell fireworks. Like, I'd go to Chinatown in New York and then get them and maybe sell some and sell candy. And, you know, just
it's funny. I did that too, man, because, you know, Calabasas doesn't have fireworks. But being as how I have, you know, the Mexican upbringing, I also have the cousins, the primos, you know, who grew up in Southgate and Compton. So they had the fireworks down
they
there,
the pleasant
right?
fireworks.
So
okay.
I'd go down there and pick up fireworks and then bring them back to Calabasas and sell them in Calabasas.
Really?
Yeah.
You sold them?
Yeah.
That's amazing, dude. I'm happy you sold fireworks too. I feel like people, I feel like, man, sometimes I think I just want to sell some, you know, bottle rockets. You know what I'm saying? So some Blockbuster. Like, I remember this dude having a bag of Blockbusters, and then they were like, there was Blockbusters. There was like M80s, which are smaller than the Blockbusters, and that was like a quarter stick of dynamite, and then the pineapples were like a half stick, and I don't know. I don't even know what they were called afterwards, but I used to fiend for them, and I loved them. So. Yeah.
I was selling like the small stuff, you know.
I think it's cool that you're selling your dad, like selling clothing is what a hustle that is. It's just like, I mean, that's been going on since the beginning. I mean, your grandpa wasn't like the first dude to do that. Your dad did that, or your grandfather did that?
My grandpa did that, but my dad took over the store, and so he ran the operation. My grandpa died in '83, and I was born in '86, and my dad sold it, the company, you know, the business back in '92. So. But that's what he grew up in, you know, same thing, the hustle and learning about that. And, you know, it was great. It was great. Definitely a good business.
I think it's great, man. I think it's just so cool. Like, close somebody be like, well, you got that for like 20 bucks. Like, I'll buy that for 100. I mean, kind of like it's untapped really resource of what you could flip clothing for, you know, sneakers. And, I mean, it's obviously graduated from
now. It's like a huge thing. Now it's like
it's massive.
You know, I just now it's buying on Alibaba and resell it, and you know, drop shipping and all kinds of different things. You don't even have a retail store.
What is drop shipping? Is that different than regular shipping?
Yeah, drop shipping is something where you have you're a reseller, right? So you don't even have to have inventory. You can buy you only thing you have to do is have the
connect,
the website where they're buying it through, be able to market that website. That's the key, right? So you have to be able to market the website. And then people are buying it from you, but you're not, and you're receiving the payment, but then automatically, if you have certain automations, it's already being ordered from your drop shipper and it's being mailed out by them.
Yeah, I have that. That's what you do for my merch. Like, I don't have the merch here, but you order it, I send you the site, and then they have a warehouse. I have a warehouse with all my stuff in it.
But you have, like, stuff at the warehouse, right? You have mm-hmm. inventory there.
Yeah, I got inventory.
Yeah, I'm talking about not even having inventory, like.
Right.
We were drop shipping, with the struggle is we were drop shipping merch, you know, cups and stuff that we didn't have inventory. There's a warehouse in the valley over in Chatsworth mm-hmm. that they would, you know, whenever we get an order.
Ooh, Chatsworth, that's a really white town.
Yeah, that's talking about LA.
Yeah.
There's a warehouse there that we would ship them an order, and somebody would buy a Mensch coffee mug.
Oh, okay.
You know, or the no kvetching coffee mug.
Oh.
And then they would ship them off from there.
I like that, dude. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because you had a Jewish meme page.
Yeah. The Struggle Israel.
The Struggle Israel.
If anybody out there heard of The Struggle Israel, shout out to my boy Alex.
Is it the.struggle.israel?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. It's on Instagram.
Now defunct, pretty much, Struggle Israel.
No, but I think it's still there. I think, one rapper. His name's Fat Nick. He's like, he just like, you know, I ain't Jewish, but the drip is real. Like, you know, he just posted and everyone's like commenting on it. And I'm like, well, this is amazing because the dude's definitely, but he put in a picture of an Israeli flag. And I thought, man, this would be great for like a Jewish meme page, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you're LA dude, Calabasas, and then you were in Mexico for 2 years. So like you're in Mexico and you're like, did you ever think like, how am I gonna get money in Mexico? Like, did you still hustle there? Because I mean, you're with your parents and stuff, but you're like
turning. That's where the hustle started, really.
Really,
but I went there not even speaking the language, right? So I mean, I guess it's once again here in Yafo in Israel, you know. But there, I picked it up pretty quick. You know, I picked it up in 6 months, completely fluent. You know, I'm just lazy about it, living a little bubble. So I get to, and you know, now my business, my hustle's in America. So I talk to Americans all day. But yeah, being in Mexico was crazy, dude. Crazy culture shock right away.
I think it's just cool that you're growing up and you're like, and that's like, that was part of it. You're like, live there. Like, where are you from? So you live in LA or all that? Like, no, I lived in Mexico and Dallas. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And now you're in LA? Because, you know, people in LA are in their own bubble.
Oh, yeah.
So fast forward. So you're selling mixtapes. So you're selling mixtapes out of your trunk. You got mashed. Master P, Maynard P, and like, man, you go to college, the whole thing, whatever.
Yeah, I went to UC Irvine, went there. First of all, I went to UC Pierce. Anybody from LA knows UC Pierce.
Okay.
Went to community college for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And
3 years community college, damn.
Yeah, bro. I was a smart kid in high school, right? I thought, you know, I got into whatever, got into Berkeley. I wanted to go to USC, and you know, I was like to have my fun too. So I thought I was a smart kid. I didn't have to study in high school. Just show up and get straight A's. I would skip school all the time.
Was weed legal in California?
Not yet.
But was it?
It was medically legal. It was. It's been medically legal since 1986. I've been smoking since I was 15, you know, since 2002, something like that.
Damn.
And
what year is it? 2020.
2020. Now I'm, you
know, 2020. Now I'm yeah.
You know, dealing with ADHD. I had, you know, diagnosed with ADHD when I was 6 years old, Ritalin. So I was on Ritalin since I was six.
Oh, God.
You know, super, like, off the wall. Getting in trouble at school, getting suspended from school all the time, getting, you know, sent home, and
mm-hmm.
the principal and all that fun stuff. But then the principal always loved me, and the teachers always loved me because, I don't know, I charmed them.
Lovable guy.
But so I get away with stuff, which is what happened when I went to college. You know, I was so used to just being able to show up, take my tests, show up, turn in my paper, get an A, get straight A's. And I figured that's what life was about, you know, just showing up, doing shit half-ass, and I'd be able to slide by. And then I get to college, and I'm like, holy shit, I got to work, man. I remember getting, like, my first C. I'd never gotten a C in my life, right? And my getting
C me
so
after class,
bro.
Teacher. You're
I was
fucking
so,
toast.
Dude, I was so pissed, bro. Like, that was like the
like,
end
what
of the
do you
world,
expect,
dude.
Dad? You moved me to Mexico City when I was a kid. I fucking hate you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's all your fault. It's all your fault.
Mm. Dude, my college experience is the worst. I mean, no, it was great. But, like, I mean, I wrestled, and then I just kind of getting arrested and going in and out.
You got
school,
the wrestling
then,
build.
Yeah, I know. I just came from wrestling practice today.
Nice.
In Tel Aviv. It's amazing.
Nice.
But I'm really interested because you said that weed wasn't legal, only medical weed, and you're in the cannabis business. You're not in the cannabis business. You're in like the, what is it called? Is it the cannabis business? Is it CBD business? Is
yeah,
it
it's
the,
all under one umbrella. So cannabis is the plant, but then within cannabis, there's the marijuana.
What is the business called?
And
what's the industry called?
The
cannabis industry?
Cannabis industry.
Okay, cannabis industry.
So now I've turned my love for weed since I was, you know, 15 years old into a completely, now that's my job. Like that was my third thing that I sold, by the way, you know, was the weed.
Weed.
The weed when I was in high school. That was my next entrepreneur venture.
Yeah. You did it in high school. This is interesting. Yeah, I didn't do it in high school. But it's, you know, whatever. I mean, what an old form of... I wouldn't recommend, if you're listening, don't... I don't know if it's really great to sell weed the way we sold weed.
No, definitely not. And if you're in L.A. or Colorado or now Illinois, right? If you're in Chicago, you can just walk right in with your ID and just
buy weed.
Store, man. You know, I mean... Or if you want to... That's the whole thing, right? In the cannabis industry, the problem now is that
I had guns pulled on me by undercover police for enjoying the weed, you know.
Fun.
What year? You know, you gotta play that game. What year was that? Like, not recently.
That shit goes down still, man. Because the whole thing is like, because it's legal in certain states. Guess what? Those legal states, everybody's getting paid. They're getting taxed up the ass, right? So that even drives the black market up even more, right? So in LA, for instance. 3/4 of dispensaries are actually illegal dispensaries.
Really?
A lot of people don't realize that.
Really?
Because...
Yeah, I mean, there was a really shady one by me in Koreatown. There's always people, like, almost under arrest. And I'm like, I know that one dude is, like, banging. And, like, he's always in my apartment building. And I'm like, God, this guy is obviously so sus. You know, I looked at him and I'm like, yeah, of course. And all the weed places, too. Like, if the weed place looks illegal...
It's illegal.
Yeah.
There's like shady ass places.
Yeah.
There's like shady.
I mean,
shady
I guess the
places.
Weed is. It's not like the weed is fake or something.
No.
But it's just like.
It's the same weed.
Just, you know, it's the same weed, but it's just no. They don't have the official stamp. It's kind of similar to like the kashrut.
Yeah. it really is in a lot of ways. I mean, you have to pay. You have
to
pay the government to say that you have to pay them to get an application.
Like, yeah.
You have to pay them for every single time that you sell something. And guess what? Everybody has to pay it. And they want to track every single gram that goes down from the grower all the way down to the cell. So it
makes
sense
see the sale. If they're, yeah.
So you have to have, you know, they have something called metric where they track it all. And if you're not compliant, they shut your ass down. And so people are like, why would I want to be compliant when I can just keep doing what I've been doing for the last 20 years?
Right, exactly. Now, isn't it, how good? So what has, like, the cannabis industry grown into? Because now they have, coming from someone who doesn't smoke, I'm just like, well, you have hemp, you have, you know, like, pills, food, liquid.
We are in the baby stages of everything, really. We are, because like you said, hemp is the future in terms of, you know, you want to get into it, you know, hemp, cannabis, marijuana, everything's been prohibition since 1937. And the reason why it was is two reasons. First of all, it was a racist, you know, it had to do with racism, have to do with Mexicans wanting to, you know, and black people and wanting to put them down and to associate the drug with those cultures and associate all the negativity associated with it, you know, with
Mexicans created weed.
Yeah, Mexicans created weed, and guess what? They're gonna rape you, and you know,
if
you smoke weed, all that stuff can happen.
Yeah,
right. And but also it had to do with
it's disrupting
industries, right? So that's where fuel comes in, fossil fuel. The paper industry was a huge industry that wanted to do away with hemp, right? The lumber industry, all you talk about these industries that are huge players, that's where the motivation really came from back in the 1930s. It had to do with, you can get all this stuff from hemp. So right now we talk a lot about, obviously, the weed, we talk about the medical marijuana, we talk about the recreational marijuana, and now we talk a lot about the CBD, and we talk about the cannabinoids. But really the real game player is going to be down the line when we're talking about the fibers, we're talking about the fuel, we're talking about all the other.
I mean, I could drive utilities. A Tesla on weed.
Straight up, bro. You're just gonna throw some hemp. Yeah, some hemp plants. I mean, it goes a little bit more into
throw an eighth in the tank. Yeah,
just roll. Yeah, so it's still in baby stages, and people, you know, it's still a long way to go, obviously, in a lot of different ways. But yeah, it's a fun place to be.
Do you ever think you just call back and like, oh, so what did my son do with his life? Like, oh, he sells weed, you know, professionally.
You know, it's so funny, man. Because
I'd always kind of wonder.
My dad, so I remember I was 16, 17 years old. I'm playing hockey, right? And we used to all, in the hockey, before our hockey games or practice, definitely before practice and definitely after practice for sure, we'd all go in, chill in the locker room or chill in the parking lot and blaze up, right? So then it became a problem because we started losing a bunch of games. We're a bunch of talented kids. We were all really good. Mm. And so we had a parent meeting, right? We had a parent meeting, and all the parents are talking.
Well, not you. You're the other parent.
Yeah, it was the parents and the players and the coaches. And the coaches stood up and said, we have a weed problem on our team, right? And my dad specifically got up and was like, because my dad had no idea smoked. Meanwhile, I'm like selling. Right, I'm like selling to all the kids on the team.
And your dad's like,
and my dad stood up. Yeah, my dad stood up and had a whole like, you know, monologue about how is this going on and blah blah blah, and you need to have control of your kids and all this shit. And then a few weeks later, I got caught selling weed. Right, and like my dad was like, you let me stand up in front of the team and tell them all and blah blah. He was so pissed. He didn't talk to me for so long. But now, yeah, I mean, now it's like on my LinkedIn. Right now, it's like, I have a podcast, and it's out in the open, you know, this is what I do, this is what the industry I'm involved in, and it's a completely different thing. My dad uses CBD for his pain and for other things going on, and, he uses CBD topicals for arthritis stuff, you know, and carpal tunnel and stuff like that. And
I was thinking about getting my mom some of that CBD oil.
Yeah. I
mean, it doesn't have to have weed in it.
It doesn't.
You know, some do.
Well, so the whole thing is that, so yeah, I mean, the full spectrum, then we get into full spectrum, broad spectrum, isolate. What does that mean? So full spectrum means like all the cannabinoids out of the hemp plant. And in order to be federally legal now in the United States, it has to be less than 0.3% THC. So it's not enough to get you high, right? But the full spectrum creates this entourage effect where it actually binds to your cells easier. We have an endocannabinoid system that
endocannabinoid system.
That's right.
Cannabinoid.
Endocannabinoid system. It's actually the third thing that your body develops in the fetus. All mammals have it. And we're seeing a lot of, the receptors have been dormant for the last 80 years because we haven't been using it properly. It used to be something that we'd get in our feed, right? And with our food because animals were eating it, right? It wasn't something that they were chopping down hemp just because it was hemp. It was something that grew freely. But
it's a whole thing. It's a whole racket now, dude. Billions and billions of dollars on cannabis and people that aren't even like, I mean, I just, not that everyone who does drugs is a degenerate, but when it was just the way I was first introduced to even having weed, I was under arrest by undercover cops with guns drawn on me for weed. So I've always associated in the back of my mind as something really negative. But obviously it's really, you know, people listen to my music and they're on weed and whatever, smoke weed or whatever you want to call it. And people are, I mean, the majority of Israel smokes weed, I think.
No doubt. And it's not legal here, you know, today. So I use CBD. Mm-hmm. I use CBD for anxiety and for ADHD. Right. And today I had to go get my CBD from some dude that I met online, and he had it downstairs, and it's not legal. All the research comes from Israel, right? 40 years of research. We know how good it is, and yet the government doesn't want – we've done more in America to legalize it than they've done here, right? So I can walk into any store in America and buy some CBD, and you got to do your research and find out which one is good and which one isn't. But over here, you got to meet up with the guy downstairs in his car. You know what I mean? And people are smoking this stuff. So and meanwhile, there's people
– they're smoking this stuff.
Yeah, it's incredible. And meanwhile, like you said, there's a few years ago, there's guns drawn. And still at times, there's still guns drawn and people coming, taken to jail. And meanwhile, there's people sitting in jail right now who are talking about a racist system. People who are probably brown and black sitting in jail for nonviolent marijuana crimes. Meanwhile, we're having conventions across the United States with dudes in suits, well-funded, who want to get in the industry or who are in the industry and making money off of this thing.
Right, yeah.
And we still got people sitting in jail for it.
C'est la vie, man. Dude. Drug game's unforgiving.
This is a big problem, bro. It's a big problem.
So that's where the industry is. Is it really big in Israel? Like, is cannabis the big thing in Israel?
It is. It is a big, actually one of the biggest conferences. Shout out to Saul K, the Cannatech. And here in Israel, it's one of the biggest ones in the world. People come around the world to come to Tel Aviv for this because Israel is viewed as a world leader in cannabis because of our research. Because research has been suppressed in America.
We can't bring weed on the plane to come over here. No, it's like not allowed.
But, you know, you bring some cartridges, you'll probably be away. Probably you'll get away with it. Yeah, you know, you got it. Just
get it past. You get it past the Mossad security. You know.
My mother-in-law bought me a vial of CBD, you know, nice lady coming on the plane with CBD, no problem, you know. So just a matter of, yeah, you know, don't come with flour. Definitely you can't come with flour. That's for sure not.
He doesn't mean flowers, guys, like from the rose store Day. He means the weed.
Yeah, the weed, the buds.
The pot.
Don't be bringing no buds on no planes.
Hold on, pause for a second. Dude, it's your birthday today.
Yay!
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
So wait, how old did you turn?
34, baby.
Okay, good 34. Year, bro.
February 12th, 1986. It was a Wednesday, and today is a Wednesday.
86 was a good year.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Yeah.
I love
86
it.
86 is a solid year. So now you're going to be 34. Do you ever think like, I'm 34. I gotta do something. I'm 35 because I'm gonna be 35. And then you'd be like, you know what? I'm 35. I'm gonna be 40.
You know what? I honestly don't, man. The way I live my life now is like, talk about one day at a time. I live my life also one day at a time, one moment at a time. I also, even though we sit here and talk about cannabis, you know, I myself have a good history in recovery, 12 steps. Still have a, you know, it's funny when people ask who you call. I call him my mentor, right? But really, he's my sponsor. All right, so everything's one day at a time, and that's the way I live my life, is also one day at a time. So I don't really like have like a thing where it's like I have to have this. Of course, I have goals that I want to achieve yearly. I have things that I want to achieve, but like I have to have this by 40, or I have to do this by 30. You know, I went through that little bit. You know, I remember being 28 and being like, I'm about to be 30, and I don't have this and that. I'm still young as shit, man. I'm so young, dude. 34 years old is so young, yeah. Especially in being an entrepreneur.
45 is young.
Hustle Beach. That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine where I'm going to be 10 years from now? I'm really stoked. Damn. I'm really stoked where I'm at now. I'm really stoked with what I got going on now. I've been working, you know, entrepreneurship for 7 years. You know, working on businesses, freelancing, learning trades, you know, having businesses. So to answer your question...
I forgot what the question was.
You said, what was the goal? You know, do I have goals, you know, being 34 or 40?
I said that. That's awesome.
That's okay. Yeah, you know, I guess the goal, the thing is be better than I was yesterday. You know, progress over perfection.
Dude, it's good. No, it's good. It's good to hear that because it's like, I don't know, in any business, you know, and with the cannabis, music, health, you know, fitness, you know, writers, journalism, you know, write the next best thing, music, write another song, you know, that song might be the big one. Producers, make another beat. Runners, run another race, you know, one more race. Cooks, you know, one more dish. Just keep kind of trudging along. And you're creating your own content now, like all, and it's like a huge community, right? I mean, it must be like such interesting Facebook groups, like really niche, like for fans of purple weed in Utah. And you're like, oh, dude, I just know 17,000 people in this group, you know?
Dude, it's incredible, and I love it. You know, I'm passionate about what I do. Obviously, I've been passionate.
Have you been interviewing really cool people for your podcast?
It's been absolutely incredible. Like the podcast started off as something that I wanted to do. We wanted to do for our business. To be able to, you know, obviously content marketing isn't great, and we are a marketing company. That's what we do, web design and payment processing, all that fun stuff for the cannabis industry. So it was something that we thought would be great, and also to meet great people and to create great relationships. But it started off as something just to do. And to be honest with you, it's like taking on a life of its own. We're like up to, you know, over 1,000 followers in different platforms and getting a few hundred listens for every episode, and
that's tight, man.
You know, growing it little by little, and now people hit me up and they want to be on it. Mm-hmm. And people hit me up and they found our company through it, and you know,
that's tight.
You know, so
when someone's gonna be like, "Well, Kosher, who's go? Oh yeah, I know Hustle Beach podcast." You're like, "Oh wait,
yeah, what? Hustle dude, Beach? That's what Hustle I'm Beach? Talking about, bro. Hustle Beach. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Hustle Beach, bro. It's just one episode at a time. One,
Life's
so yeah,
a beach,
we got
hustle.
To interview cool people. I get to meet the coolest people, you know." And it's honestly, selfishly, like, I get to learn from them.
Do you feel like you're a little bit outside the box in Israel?
How so?
Like, just doing what you're doing here? Totally.
Yes and no. I mean, all my clients are in the States. We don't have any clients here. I wouldn't want to have clients here, necessarily. But when I talk to people that I live in Israel, they get excited. They're like, because, like I said, cannabis is like... Israel is the place for cannabis. People are like, oh, do you know Dr. Meshulam? Do you know, oh, have you met Saul Gay? And all these different, a lot of real big researchers, influencers, leaders in the global cannabis infrastructure are based here in Israel. So it's really cool. It's really cool.
I can sometimes think, I'm like, yeah, man, sell some pot, you know? That's good. I don't think of that.
Telegraphs. No one likes that.
Oh, yeah. It's a Telegraphs. Oh, it's like a thing, right? It's like an Israeli app, right?
Don't
Why don't people like it?
Because, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm all about the CBD now anyways. I used to smoke all day, every day. I don't even be lucky to catch me smoking that much anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even smoke that much anymore, hardly ever. I'm all about CBD. And I'm all about the, you know, helping people to have the effects to do it. But that being said, I forgot the question, but.
You're like, did you smoke before?
I
forgot what we were talking. What's this podcast about?
Yeah, what are we doing? What's your name again? Yeah. The Ram Dog, Rami.
No, and let's be more important. If you made it this far in the podcast, you really, for guys who don't know, Maynard is in the schmoozing video.
Schmoozing.
For bringing the party.
Schmoozing.
For bringing the party.
Schmoozing.
Jewish.
Jewish.
That's what I'm saying. Jewish. Exactly.
I'm Jewish.
Yep, you are. So he is like the tough, mean guy in the video, which is like in like the gang of Orthodox Jews. He is like the one that knew how to do the acting. The other guys were all... didn't know what I was saying because they don't speak English, but it was just, we were like, Baruch Hashem,
one of my
perfect.
Loves is hip-hop. Yeah. One of my loves is hip-hop. Being in L.A., Purdue, you know, obviously everybody who's working in the industry.
Speaking of,
produced, you know.
Speaking of, now totally switching it from schmoozing and you being in L.A., speaking of weed, I opened for Wiz Khalifa the other day in Utah.
Yeah.
And the chief of police came on stage and he like blew weed in his face and they shut the entire concert down.
Wait, where was it? Where?
Park City, Utah.
Oh, in Utah, duh.
Yeah,
dude.
They're like, you smoking some pot? You're going to prison, black man. Like, no, you're no, like,
he should have just said, this is CBD, baby. No. You know, they got CBD CBD flower. He could have just been like, this CBD, it's federally legal now. Can't do nothing.
He was on stage in the middle of his song where he was like, roll it up.
Yeah, roll up that CBD. Why not?
Could you do that? I don't even know. Yeah. Really? That's
hilarious. Man, but anyways, that must have been a scene.
That was a scene. And everyone's like, yeah, that's what happens when you blow weed in the chief of police face. You know, they shut the concert down, which I assume is a pretty safe assumption for anywhere in the world. If you start embarrassing the chief of police and blowing weed and drugs in his face, the guy's going to be like, you're kind of toast, buddy. listen, we're going to go on and on here about the hustle. What's your podcast so we can listen to it?
It's called Dank Discussions.
Dank Discussions. That's cool. That's amazing. Just like, is there a prerequisite to like smoke weed to be listen to the show, or anyone can listen?
You know what? I'll tell you. If you want to learn about,
I think it's a good name.
Current cannabis industry.
Yes.
I'm telling you. I know I'm a little biased, but we got some great shit, dude. And there's a lot of people who the podcast is actually catered for people who are in the industry who already know stuff. So like, there's a lot of intro stuff. You know, this is the endocannabinoid system, and this is blah blah blah, and this is what's going on. But really, it's like a lot of nuanced information in there. You know what I mean? Like talking about global markets, talking about CBD skincare, talking about
awesome
everything. So it's
Dank Discussion. Sounds cool. Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music. Google, gotta give it a 5-star rating. Stuff, you know, listen to it. Give it a thing. So just real quick, give a shout out to all your socials so people can follow you.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you can go, our website is calacan.com, calacann.com. And there you can find the Dank Discussions. You can also find it, obviously, like I said, on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, Google, but you have links through the website. It's called Dank Discussions, and the Instagram, Dank Podcast, Twitter, Dank_podcast. Someone else has Dank Podcast, apparently. You know, I'm at Maynard Breslow. We have at Calican. So you got many ways to find us, man, you know, and hit us up, dude. Slide in our DMs. We're always happy to talk, and we're always happy. Yeah, that's it.
Boom. Tagging them right now, guys. Right now,
we're always happy to talk. We're always happy to spread awareness. We want to really bring awareness to what's going on
in the weed game.
In the weed game, change what's going on.
The legal weed game.
Legislation, you know, regulation, making changes.
Bars.
Exactly, dude.
I felt like you were just rapping right there. Legislation.
Regulation. Memorization.
Memorization.
No castration.
I don't even know, man. Are you playing schmoozing? All right. So this is the end of, I think this is Hustle Beach episode number 8. And I'm really excited we're going to upload it. I am Kosha Dills. I just got back from Sundance Film Festival opening for Wiz Khalifa and Naughty by Nature, Shwayze, Delta Funky Homo Sapien, and Miley Cyrus's sister, Brandy Cyrus, which was a really interesting show. And now I am back in Israel with Maynard Press. Low or breast live like Breslov, like the Maynard Breslov.
Breslov.
Yeah, Maynard Breslov. You know, Maynard Breslov from the Ciudad of Mexico and Calabasas. And he is of the Dank Discussions. Follow his podcast. And I'm thinking I'm forgetting something. I'm supposed to shout out that I'll be at South by Southwest. So if you guys are down there and want to meet up at the Oyve Showcase, or if you want to support really dope stuff like this, hit the Patreon, patreon.com/koshadills. I accept money, and that's basically what that site's for people to pay me while I stay up late and do podcasts for no apparent reason, all for free, just so you can digest it with all my friends. Koshadillsworld.com, Maynard Breslow, Dank Discussions, Dank Podcasts, what a dank time, and great job in the schmoozing video, bro.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me, bro. I loved it.
And we will see you guys next time. Make sure you follow this podcast on Spotify, download it, Anchor, SoundCloud, and iTunes, gazillion star rating. And that's it, guys. We'll see you next week, next Tuesday on Hustle Beach. Hustle Beach!
Peace!